Welcome back. Now we're going to dive into beliefs that limit what you're capable of. After the who I am beliefs, which are being beliefs, the second most common area for limitations are the doing beliefs, what you're capable of, what's possible for you to do. The truth is that if anyone has ever done anything, you could do it too. You're just as capable as anyone else if you put your mind on developing that capability. It's also true that people have different natural abilities, but even if you don't have a natural ability, you can still develop that ability with study and practice. If someone can do it, you can do it. The only limitations we have are the ones that we place on ourselves, or the ones that other people program into us and we accepted. Remember, all beliefs create limitations. That's actually what they're for. And if you remove a belief about a limitation, what gets opened up are possibilities. Last week, we talked about no limits being. If you took all the limitations off of you, you would be in a no limits being state. This week, we're going for no limits doing, no limits on what you can do. The question is, what do you want to do? You can't do everything, but you can do anything. Let me say that again. Unfortunately, due to the laws of physics, you can't do everything. You don't have time. But when you focus your attention, you can do anything. In my book on manifestation, Creating on Purpose, we teach that the best way to create something new is to be first. For example, if you want to write a book, just decide that you are an author, and then do what authors do. Write 4 to 6 hours every day. Then you'll have a finished manuscript and a published book. This is be leading to do, leading to have. It takes all the doubts away. Do you want to play the piano? Consider that you are already a pianist and then go take lessons, study, and practice. Being comes first, which is why we first handled limitations on being. Doing comes second. Today we're going to handle your limitations on doing. Then you can have whatever you want to have by being and doing first. All skills are developed by study and practice, and beliefs get in the way of your studying and practicing anything. Oh, I could never learn to play the piano. And guess what happens? You don't decide to take lessons, you don't practice, so you prove that your belief is right. This is what stops people from doing the things they need to do to have what they want to have. So get ready to do some writing. I'll prompt you to look for beliefs you may have in this arena. Write down anything that comes to mind. Capabilities and abilities are most often created by I can and I can't beliefs. So listen to my prompt and just see what comes up. Say to yourself, I can't, for example, and then fill in the blank. I can't. I can't. And then just write down the description of what you can't do. What are you incapable of doing? What don't you give yourself permission to do? What do you know that you can't do? Just keep writing down whatever comes to mind. It might be a long list. I can't find the right partner. I can't make enough money. I can't heal my body. Whatever your can'ts are, write them down. And always feel free to stop the recording if you need more time. Now think about the things you want to do, but you can't do, and write those down. I want to, but I can't. And keep filling that out as many ideas or thoughts come to you. I want to fill in the blank, but I can't. Now think about the things that other people can do, people that you admire, and recognize, I can't do that. So think about those other people and then write down whatever comes up. I can't do that that he does. I can't do that that she does. And keep writing. As many ideas that come to you, write them down. Now fill in this blank. I'm not supposed to. We got a lot of programming about what we're not supposed to do. I'm not supposed to run around naked. I'm not supposed to act strange in front of strangers. I'm not supposed to speak to strangers. I'm not supposed to, and write down all the thoughts that come to you when you say that. Now say to yourself, it's not okay for me to, and fill in the blank. It's usually not okay with someone else, so think of people who it's not okay for you to do certain things. It's not okay with mom if I'm independent. So write down whatever comes to mind. Let's move on to I'm not able to. I'm not able to jump 6-foot barriers. I'm not able to rollerblade. And if you're in a wheelchair, I'm not able to walk. I'm not able to get everything done. Fill in the blanks for yourself. I'm not able to. Next, I'm limited by my blank. Identify the limitations that you have. I'm limited by my lack of intelligence. I'm limited by how I look. I'm limited by my skills. I'm limited by my lack of resources. What are you limited by? Next is, it's impossible for someone like me to. So it may be, it's impossible for someone like me to be a Hollywood star. It's impossible for someone like me to be happy. What is it not possible for someone like you to do? The next one is, they won't like it if I. And this is very early childhood programming. They won't like it if I jump and scream. They won't like it if I run around the house and explore. What is it they won't like? Write down whatever thoughts come to mind. The next one is, they won't let me do whatever I want. They won't let me achieve what I'm designed to achieve. They won't let me into their group. Whatever comes up for you, write it down. We're going even a step deeper now. They'll stop loving me if I, and fill in the blank. They'll stop loving me if I don't do what they say. They'll stop loving me if I move away. They'll stop loving me if I love someone else. Whatever comes up for you, write a few of those down. What's something that you've tried to do and someone else has done and succeeded at, but you haven't succeeded? Write a few of those down. Take another minute and add to any of those categories. I'll give you another minute. And feel free to keep adding to this list in the next day or two. You'll start to notice a lot of other beliefs coming up. As I said before, all beliefs are inherently limiting. A belief is like a bubble that separates what's inside the bubble from what's outside the bubble. For example, inside the self bubble is, I am this, and outside of the bubble is, I am not that. Now, as soon as you say, I can do this, you're putting a number of things outside the bubble. I can't do that. Now, some of this is purely practical, like if I focus on developing this skill, I won't have time to build other skills. So when you have I can't inside the bubble, You're forever separated from the possibility that you can. What we're doing here is trying to pop some of those bubbles and create more possibilities for your life. As you're thinking about this, remember that the word decide comes from the Greek word that's also the basis for the word suicide, insecticide, and genocide. It means to cut off. So whenever you decide to do something, you're automatically deciding that you can't do a bunch of other things. Now, when I found out that I actually had limitations on what I could do in my life, I was really pissed off. I thought I could do anything when I was young. And when I found out that I couldn't, that there just wasn't time, I was really angry with God for giving me all those limitations. Now, because our beliefs create our experience of reality, when you say, I can't do that, then you make it so. You make it so by not trying or by quitting. It's not because you couldn't, it's because you quit or didn't continue. And as I said, since skills are developed with study and practice, whenever you start something and then stop, you prove that you can't do it. Now, before I learned this lesson, I quit a lot of things in my life. I had a lot of I can't beliefs. Experiments have been done with children in which they're offered the opportunity to get a small candy right away or more candy if they wait for a couple of minutes. Now, some kids just can't wait. They just scarf it down. That's going for immediate gratification. Other kids wait and fidget and distract themselves in order to get the bigger portion of candy. Now, it turns out that these kids, the ones who can manage themselves and delay their gratification, do much better later in life. They're willing to put the hard work in to get the bigger reward. So which type of person are you? If you want to succeed, you have to be willing to do the hard work to get there. Now, I worked my butt off when I became a headhunter, which is what I did before becoming an author and a teacher. Then I worked really hard to become known as a teacher and author. Now, I don't know any shortcuts, except for those few people who are sudden successes. But you can't control that. Sometimes the universe just comes and picks someone up and carries them to glory or fame or riches or enlightenment, but you can't stand in line and wait for it. As someone said, luck comes to those who work hard. Now, if two people want to play the piano and one has natural talent and the other one doesn't, the one who has natural talent will have an easier time learning. But both people can practice and learn and master the skill. Whoever quits first, whether it's the person with a natural talent or the one who doesn't have natural talent, the person who keeps practicing will get better and better and better. And it doesn't matter what the natural talent is. Whenever we quit or get disinterested in something, or something becomes more important, then that's what limits us. It's not about your natural talent or your ability. It's just the fact that you stop practicing or getting better at it. Now, Malcolm Gladwell pointed out in his book Outliers that the key to success and mastery in any field is to a large extent a matter of practicing a specific task or ability for a total of about 10,000 hours. That's 5 years of full-time practice or 10 years of half-time practice. And if you practice only 1 hour a day, it'll take you about 27 years to master your craft. Now, as you mature, your needs and desires and interests change. There's nothing wrong with changing what interests you. The question is, was that the real reason that you quit that other thing? Or was it an excuse for quitting? Did you cut something off from yourself by quitting? Like the joy that comes from getting better and better at something or accomplishing something because you ended up deciding not to keep going? Think back to your school years. Which subjects did you say, I can't learn that, and write them down? Now, for me, it was chemistry and calculus. I took calculus 3 times, got C's all 3 times, and I still don't know what the hell a function is. Now, this happened because I missed some concept in the middle of the class, and I kept going instead of getting it handled and understood. And that stumped me from that point forward. About what did you say, I can't do that well, so I might as well give up? I can't do that well, so I might as well give up. For me, it was art. I was actually pretty good at art, but I got the belief that I couldn't do it well, so I might as well give up. So write down a few things that you decided you might as well give up on because you couldn't do it well or as well as other people. What books did you stop reading because they were too hard? Write down a few of those. What did you stop doing because it was uncomfortable? For me, that one was skiing. My dad took me skiing when I was a kid, and I was uncomfortable most of the time. I was cold, and it was hard, and I fell down a lot. So I stopped skiing, and I stopped getting better at it, of course. When you quit trying and practicing, you don't get any better. That's just the way it goes. So write down a few things that you stopped doing because you were uncomfortable or it was uncomfortable. Now let's look at the other side. What can you do now? What are you able to do? What have you mastered because there was someone there to mentor you or encourage you or tutor you, or in some cases demand that you continue to practice beyond your resistance or your desire to quit? If you ask people who play the piano well, for most of them their parents said, you will practice the piano for an hour a day when you get home from school, even if you don't like it. Even if they complained or they tried to manipulate their way out of it, like I did. They practiced because they were forced to, and they got better and better at the piano and eventually mastered it. So what are you able to do precisely because there was someone there to support you in your growth and development? What were you encouraged to do? Write a few of those things down. Now, often we're encouraged to do things because we have natural talents, even if it's not something we actually want to do. I call this the tyranny of talent. A kid might be encouraged to do math and science because he's good at it, when in fact, inside his heart, he actually wants to write or do art. Now, people like that grew up to be very miserable scientists because they didn't follow their heart. Someone gave them bad advice and said, "You're good at that, so you should do that." Did you have this experience? If so, write it down. That's one of those I'm supposed to beliefs. And what did you rebel against and stop because you were over-encouraged? Sometimes parents get to be a little too much. They want you to be something or do something. And you say, screw that, I'm not going to do it precisely because they're telling me to, even if I like it. Do you have any of those in your life? If so, write them down. As you're writing these down, I'll tell you a short story. I was very fortunate in my teenage years. I had a wonderful man in my life who was a teacher and a life coach. He prodded me and motivated me. He was a tough and loving mentor. He encouraged me, supported me. He took an interest in me. Now, most successful people have at least one person in their lives who did this, who took a special interest and encouraged them. This fellow, whose name was T.D. Lingo, encouraged me to think that I was special and I could do special things. And my life really started to turn around when I met him at age 19. He was a consciousness explorer, so I became a consciousness explorer, just like him. I was very fortunate to have him in my life. Do you have a mentor or a person who encouraged you in a particular direction? And then ask yourself this question: are you above average in that field of study or discipline? The usual answer is yes, because of that encouragement. Now, it might have been one of your parents or teachers or a relative or a friend. These are precious people. And have you been a mentor to a young woman or a young man? We need to pass this gift on. If you haven't done so yet, find a younger person and mentor them. You have so much good to offer, and you'll make a huge difference in their lives. Now, I want to look at education very briefly, because a lot of us got stopped in school. The root of the word education is educare, which means to draw out. It doesn't mean to stuff in. And our education became very narrow because we were being programmed and socialized, not educated. We were all being taught as if there was only one kind of intelligence measured by IQ. And it turns out there's many types of intelligence, and every child has a unique mind. Now, in his book, The Frames of Mind, Howard Gardner said that intelligence is not a single ability, but a very wide range of abilities. And he divided them up into many categories, including logical mathematical, spatial mechanical, linguistic, body kinesthetic, musical, interpersonal relational. Now, a lot of children are very good at interpersonal relationships, which is a required skill for success in life. But those kids may not be so good at language or mathematics-based skills, and they may have been punished for talking in class, even though talking was something they were good at. There's quite a few other categories as well. There's one called naturalistic, which is classifying and identifying. It's great for biologists and sportscasting, for example. Existential, which is self-awareness in a spiritual or religious sense. Practical survival, which is great if you're lost in the woods or live in nature. Creative artistic, which of course is required for artists. Storytelling, very handy in the movie business or on stage and in literature. Sexual seductive, we know what that's good for. And problem solving, which is important for anyone during times of change. There's even one called financial accumulative, and you can bet that most rich people have that one in abundance. All of these are skills and abilities that we all have, though in different amounts. And because we're each unique, these various intelligences inform our decision-making abilities and our executive functions and our lives. Now, schools focus on one set of intelligences, the cognitive ones. Facts pour in and regurgitate it out. Now, if you were weak in that one, but strong in others, you might not have gotten recognition for your own abilities, except perhaps negative recognition, criticism, being demeaned or humiliated for not having the intelligence styles that the schools were designed to enhance and support. If this happened to you, you probably took on beliefs about yourself. You became negative about school and learning. You may have spiraled down into trouble. Our schools are full of this problem. Brilliant kids with lots of skills and abilities that don't get supported. They end up in trouble because they feel bad about themselves. Now, as I mentioned last week, mistakes are the way we learn. If you made mistakes and got humiliated for them, you're going to believe that mistakes are bad, and of course that will stop you from learning. So a better way to look at life and learning and your abilities is to see difficulties and problems as great signs of forward movement. Now imagine running into a problem in your life and saying to yourself, "Hooray, I've got a new problem. Something's come up. Isn't that exciting? What does it tell me? What's the way around it or through it or past it? What do I need to learn? What beliefs are holding me back or causing this situation? Who can I get help from? If someone has solved this problem, so can I. I just have to figure out how." Wouldn't that be a great attitude to have about your own life? Now here's a secret that I want everybody to know, and I tell it whenever I can. Whenever you try to create something new, blocks and barriers and resistance come up naturally. It's one of the laws of the mind. You say you're going to do something, and all of your old beliefs that are in conflict with that new creation pop up and reassert themselves. You can count on this happening. And when it happens, it sounds like doubts or second thoughts or voices in your head that discourage you, or people on the outside who will sometimes take this role and tell you that it can't be done and why, or tell you that you can't do it and why. Now, if someone early in your life had taught you that this situation is normal, you could have taken on bigger challenges. You could have handled the doubts and the old negative beliefs and just kept going. You'd be successful because successful people are just people who figure out how to deal with the stuff that comes up automatically. Now, when you clear your belief lens about who you are and you clear the negative and limiting beliefs that you carry, you can begin to see your own magnificence. When you clear your belief lens about what you can do, you can begin to see your own capacities and your capabilities. There are no limits on what you could do. You could accomplish anything. We go from no limits being to no limits doing, and eventually get to no limits having. There's no limit to what you could have if you're willing to do what needs to be done. Okay, enough of that. Now we're going to swing to the positive. Now write your answers to these questions. If you didn't have any limitations at all, what would you be doing? Take a minute and conceive of what you could do and what you would do if there were no limitations at all. You can keep adding to this list in the coming days and weeks, especially as you discreate the beliefs about what you can't do. Here it is again. If you didn't have any limitations at all, what would you be doing? Here's the next question. If you didn't have to earn a living, what would you choose to do with your time? Now, most of us trade our time for money so we can do the things we want to do, but we end up spending more time doing what we don't want to do instead of what we do want to do. So the question again is, if you didn't have to earn a living, what would you choose to do with your time? If you had all the money and resources you needed, what would you spend your time and money on? What would you build with your wealth? What kind of legacy would you create to leave behind? I always wanted to grow up and be a philanthropist, giving away money and supporting other people with my immense wealth. I'm still working on that one. Here's the next question. If you followed your dream, your highest vision, and your purpose in life, what would you be doing? If you could create anything, what would you create for yourself, for your family, for your community, for the world? Just keep adding to this list as you go through the week. This will help you formulate your vision and your purpose and what you really should be doing in your life. Not should because someone else tells you to, but should because you are telling yourself to from the inside. Okay, now look at the beliefs that you've written down, especially the negative beliefs, and choose one, two, or three to clear with the belief closet process this week. Go through what you've written down and circle the ones that you'd really like to be rid of quickly. Now, if you haven't written anything down, take time now to write down a few beliefs that you'd like to change for yourself this week. I'll give you a minute to do that. Circle one to three beliefs that you want to delete from your psyche this coming week. And pause the recording if you need more time. Once you've done that, think about the belief that you'd rather have instead. Now, your new belief should make you feel wonderful, glowing, and radiant. It'll make you feel really good about yourself. Now, you can start with the opposite belief. Instead of I can't, you could say I can, but then upgrade it so that it makes you feel wonderful. Once you're in the belief closet, you'll be able to upgrade it even more, because once you've cleared an old belief, you're freed of its limitations, so you can think through more possibilities. That's why we delete an old belief first before we replace it with something even better. I want to encourage you this week to take yourself into the belief closet process and clear at least three beliefs. Now, that's for you to do on your own with the recording of the journey from last time. I want you to build your skill and ability to change your own beliefs. And as you build this skill, you're building your own power to do what you want to do. Because anytime there's a barrier or a block or resistance, you can clear it. It's a very powerful skill for your future. In fact, it's the most important skill I know of. So we're going to go into the belief closet right now, and we're going to do a variation of the process. We're going to work with the beliefs that you got from your parents. So put your paper or your keyboard away. I'm going to guide you through a very important process for clearing your early programming about your limitations.